morning, and it's good to see all of our beautiful family together, members from all across the city of Houston. It's good to be here today, isn't it?
Amen.
We serve a great God. This is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. If you're visiting with us, you are our honored guests, and thank you so much for blessing us with your presence. Our elders will acknowledge all of the visitors at the end of our worship service. We're just glad, always happy to meet on the first day of the week. I don't know about you, but I just look forward to coming together with the saints. I know some of you been with the devils this week. Time to be with the saints. Amen, 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 amen. Don't you tell your co-workers they devil. Yeah, God loves everybody. Amen. I want to begin a short series of lessons this morning, a study this morning. I'm entitled A Study of the Apostles, A Study of the Apostles, as we worship our great God in heaven. I'm going to try my best to make this a three-lesson series, I believe. And I say I believe because sometimes, you never know, where the Lord will lead you. And so I leave just a little flexibility. I believe the titles, this is lesson number one. I believe lesson number two will be the power of the apostles, and lesson number three will be the reward of the apostles. But don't hold me tight to those titles, okay? But I'm just giving you some insight this morning. And I know some of you may be wondering why a study of the apostles is even important or even relevant. And I want to read some passages out of the Word of God that might help you with that this morning. Everybody's all right?
Amen.
You did come here to worship God.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. John chapter 17, if you will. Hopefully you'll take some notes. Some of our lessons, our sermons are exhortation, encouragement, uplifting. Some are to be instructive, teaching. Well, all of them ought to be instructive, teaching. So this is an instructional lesson to make sure we're sound in the faith. Amen. Some lessons are to correct. You don't like to hear those that often. But that's the Word of God. Will correct us and get us back in line if we listen to it. Amen, somebody. And then some are even stronger than that. Some are to rebuke. And that's why I have to stand behind the cross and the Word of God. Because that's my protection. That's any teacher's protection as a woman of God, a man of God, is that we stand behind the Word. And we hope people don't take offense to us personally. If you take offense to anybody, it's to God. And you don't want to take an offense to God. Amen. John chapter 17, verse number 18. Listen to Jesus as he speaks. And some of this I have to briefly put in context. And you have to do a little homework on your own just because of time's sake. But I'll tell you what, we got a nice clock back there, I see. I'll tell you what, if I can't see that clock. Thank you, brothers. Appreciate that. I've been asking for a clock. I got a clock not on it. Persevere. Now, don't you be looking back there at the clock. I see it, so you got to tell me what time it is. Yeah, I like that clock, though. As you sent me into the world, this is Jesus speaking. You see it in color red in some of your Bibles. As you sent me into the world, he's praying to the Father. I also have sent them into the world. This is his prayer. He's talking about his apostles, those that have been appointed to him. For their sakes, I sanctify myself. I love that. I hope those that would dare teach, preach, that we wouldn't teach or preach anything we're not willing to do ourselves. Amen. Somebody help us, Lord Jesus. Yeah, that'll help us as parents, as we parent, as we teach our kids, that we wouldn't be harping on them to do things that we. Yeah. Go back to the text. That's a different lesson. That they themselves also may be sanctified in truth. He he's talking to is to the God the Father. He says, I've also sent them into the world. Then verse 20, I do not ask on behalf of these alone, of these apostles alone, but for those who also believe in me through their word. That's why it's relevant that we understand and know what the word of God teaches about the apostles to the apostles, because Jesus says, I've sent them out into the world. And I sent them out into the world. Before I sent them, I sanctified myself so they could be sanctified, notice, in truth. And oh, Jesus taught his apostles everything he could while he was here. He says, and I don't ask on behalf of them alone, thank you, Lord Jesus, but for those, that's talking to us, who believe in the Lord Jesus through their word. Okay. Listen to John 13:20. Truly, truly, or verily, verily, King James translation, I say to you, he who receives whomever I send receives me. Jesus says, if you receive the apostles, you receive me. And he who receives me receives him who sent me. See, and listen, if you receive the apostles because Jesus sent the apostles, you receive me. And he who receives me receives the Father. And that's what we're trying to get to, is the Father. Anybody trying to get to the Father? We try and get to the Father. I'm just laying the foundation here. Well, Brother Gary, who sent Jesus? I know you were going to ask that. To be clear, John 14, verse 24. And these are not all the verses, but I'm reading some of them. John 14, verse 24. John 14, 24. He who does not love me, Jesus is speaking, does not keep my words. Notice the number of times you're going to hear words. You hear the words, and it is important. Where God made us to be communicating creatures, and it is through the preached or taught word. If we're gonna be saved, we're gonna be saved. It's through the word. See, so what is the word? Sometimes you got quit saying the word is boring. The word is not boring. In the words are life. And see, and some of us we get happy about some words. See, we reading something. We got somebody delivering some words that we like. I just want to know what words you're listening to. Yeah. He says this. He says, let me finish reading the verse. And the word which you hear from me, Jesus says, is not mine, but the Father's who sent me. God sends the Father to the world to save the whole wide world. And Jesus, He's appointed 12 apostles, and he prays for them, and he says he sends them to teach us the word. And so we see that God the Father sent Jesus to the world and for us to be saved. Listen to Acts chapter 2, verse 42, Acts 2:42. They continually devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship and to breaking of bread and to prayer. The early church devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching, which really was not the apostles' teaching. It was Jesus' teaching, which really was not Jesus' teaching. It's the Father's teaching. We're getting the chain of command down. That's very important because, see, all of us are listening to somebody. And I just got a question I got to ask you. Who are you listening to? What you reading? What kind of material are you reading? What's in your mind? What you holding on to? Holding fast. And if you say nobody, nothing, then you listen to the wrong person, which is yourself. Amen, somebody. Yeah. And then this verse we're all familiar with, Matthew 28:19. Go therefore. And if you in context, we know we call this the Great Commission, and that's our phrase for it, because it was some of the last words that Jesus had to his apostles. But if you really were being accurate with this, it says, go ye therefore and teach. This really is God's commission to his apostles. If you went to Matthew chapter 28 and verse number 16 above that, it says to the 11, and Jesus spoke directly to the apostles. He directly gave that commission to them. Now listen, indirectly it's to us, but listen to what he said. He says, go therefore and make disciples of all the nations. Now, he went to the 11. He said, to the 11, and he spoke direct. He said, I want you to go make disciples to all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things I've commanded you, and lo, I'm with you even to the end of the age. And that's what Jesus intended for the apostles to do. You want to know why? Go to Matthew chapter 24. Pull up here. It's not in my notes. Matthew 24 and verse 14. Pull up Matthew chapter 24 and verse 14. Listen to this. This gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in the whole. Everybody say whole. In the whole world as a testimony to all the nation. Notice this. And then the end will come. God's saying this. He says, look. He says, before the end comes, somebody said, well, Gary, what about people who haven't ever heard the word? They're going to hear it if they already haven't heard it. What about people who, how you know everybody? I know who has heard it. You've heard it. So before you worry about somebody else, who we need to be worried about? Amen, somebody. Yeah, you worry about folk in all these other different countries. They got Bibles over there. And we said, and really, if you even told the truth, listen to pull up Colossians 1 and verse number 23. Colossians 1, 23. According to the scriptures, the known world, when the apostles living had heard the word of God. Pull up Colossians 1, verse number 23. Colossians 1, 23. If indeed you continue in the faith, Paul writing to the Colossians, firmly established, steadfast, and not moved away from the hope of the gospel that you have heard, which was proclaimed in all creation under heaven. Amen, somebody. Yeah, so God gonna give everybody a chance. Everybody will have the opportunity to hear the word of God. Everybody ought to say praise the Lord. Guess what? And many of us have had more than one opportunity. We've had all kinds of opportunities. So and the way they heard it was Jesus, he told the apostles, he said, listen, I'm about to go be with my Father, but I want you to preach the word to everybody. Who in here who has children who would not dare expose their children to the word of God? Yeah. Okay, let's get a little deeper in this study. The word apostle, it simply means one who is sent. And it's really not an extraordinary word in literature or even in text. See, it's not, some people look at an apostle, and I say that because there are two or three groups who use the term apostle. I think the Mormons, you know, they call themselves apostles. But do they have the right understanding and the right meaning? Or do we have the right understanding and meaning? See, the word simply means that one who is sent, because that's the original in the Greek language. It was a word used in ancient literature, and it describes somebody who's sent out on a mission. And in the New Testament, when we look up the word, when we see the word, there are more than just the 12 apostles that we all recognize. I had them on the first slide. I didn't see it. I wasn't looking up there. I had some of the names of the 12. And they're in three instances in the Gospels, in the Gospel of Mark, the Gospel of Luke, the Gospel of Matthew, that it names all the 12. And we're going to focus on those in future lessons. But the apostles, the words, because in Hebrews chapter 3, verse 1, Jesus is called the apostle. Hebrews chapter 3, verse 1. Therefore, brethren, holy brethren, partakers of a heavenly calling, consider Jesus the apostle and high priest of our confession. And he uses a capital A in the text because Jesus was sent by who? He's sent by God. And he's the apostle. And we know we're not Jesus, don't we? Yes. Okay, so we know we are not Jesus, and we are definitely not the apostle. Okay? Now, there is also Barnabas in the New Testament. He was even referred to as an apostle. He was referred to as an apostle. So, Brigero, are there 13 or 14 apostles? Well, listen to Acts chapter 14, verse 14, Acts 14, 14. Don't go to sleep on me now. says, but when the apostles Barnabas and Paul heard of it, they tore their robes and rushed out into the crowd, crying out. Well, remember, the word means one who is sent. The question is, who were you sent by? And we see, we know in Acts chapter 13, verse 2, that Barnabas and Paul were sent by the church. It was sent by the church. And that's a distinction between them and the other 12 apostles. Listen to Acts chapter 13, verse 2. While they were ministering to the Lord and fasting, the Holy Spirit said, set apart for me Barnabas and Saul for the work to which I've called them. Then they had fasted and prayed and laid their hands on them. And then they sent them away. So Barnabas and Saul at the time, Paul was sent by the church. But then there are also within the New Testament this group, a specialized group that refers to the office that was held by the 12 apostles. And they are named in some texts. And go, if you will, to the book of Mark, chapter 3, and we want to finish reading what Brother Lark and Brother Hugh read for us. In Mark chapter 3 and verse number 14. And he appointed 12 so that they would be with him and that he could send them out to preach. I want you to understand the purpose of the apostles. So that they would be with him, speaking of Jesus, and that he could send out to preach, verse 15, and to have authority to cast out demons. And he said, and he appointed the 12. Then he names them Simon, to whom he gave the name Peter, James. And our young ones, it'd be good if they memorize all of the apostles, to memorize the names of the apostles. Matter of fact, not the young ones, just the old ones too, huh? He said, Brother Gary, don't you even go there. James, the son of Zebedee. John, the brother of James. To them he gave the name Boanerges. I'm probably pronouncing that wrong. It means the sons of thunder. I could give a lesson on the sons of thunder, but not today. And Andrew, Philip, Bartholomew, and Matthew, and Thomas, and James, the son of Alphaeus, and Thaddeus, also referred to as Judas also, and then Simon the Zealot, and Judas Iscariot, who betrayed him. It's interesting in the three occasions in the New Testament where the apostles are named, Peter's always, he's always listed first. Some in some faiths would say that made him the Pope, but that the Bible don't call him the Pope, does it? Nowhere in the Bible does it call him the Pope. And so we don't want to give him a name God haven't given him, do we? As a matter of fact, I don't know anywhere in the Bible anybody being called the Pope. No offense to somebody who wants to be called the Pope, but the Pope is just a man. Amen. 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 And so listen, and Judas is always listed last. And some of you can speculate as to why he's listed last, but he's listed last in the Word of God. Amen? And just, you know, because of what we know about Judas, that might be appropriate that he was listed last. Amen? Now notice this. These men were appointed. They were chosen. Listen to Luke's account, Luke 6 and verse 12, Luke 6, 12. It was at this time that he went off to the mountain to pray. And notice, we have four gospel accounts, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. And Jesus is getting ready to go out, leap out on his ministry. He went to the mountain to pray. He spent the whole night in prayer to God. Anybody ever spent a whole night in prayer to God? What do you think that meant, he spent the whole night? Well, they say he spent the whole night. Amen. Have we ever spent the whole night praying about anything? Yeah. if we're getting ready to make a very important such decision, is it appropriate for us to pray? We get this example from Jesus. Jesus is the Son of God. No, the scripture says Jesus is God. If Jesus needs to pray, do we need to pray? You know, I will say this. I was studying this, I knew I was going to ask this question. And I said, well, Gary, you need to ask yourself this question. And I said, you know, have I ever prayed all night long? And I have to be totally honest with you. I said, I don't think I've ever prayed. I tell you, but you know what? You get in some trouble. Anybody in here ever had a heartache before? I can remember a couple of times that I prayed myself to sleep. I just prayed because I couldn't pray no more. And I was repeating myself, and I just kept saying, Lord, help me. Anybody ever prayed that before? Lord, help me. And I said, now Jesus is the Son of God, and he know everything. And he prayed all night. See, notice it. Jesus spent about 3.5 years on earth in his ministry. So he must have lived about 33. But he knew that this was the core. This would be the most vital time of his life. And I was looking at this. I said, you know, he knew these men were going to be with him practically every. You know, I think, should a man pray for the wife that he going to be marrying? Should a wife pray to God, Lord, now I'm finna give my heart to this man. That's what the scripture tells the wife to be subject to her. Do you think she need to be praying? I told my daughters, look, and see, you know, you have to be dangerous. You have to be careful when you raise some girls, and I'm raising them as a man. I'm trying to raise them to be independent. Look, baby, look at it. You want to say, don't depend on no man for. You better know how to do some stuff yourself. But you know, you have to be careful. You teach them that, but also you got to teach them. Look, when you marry a man, you saying you the head of my house. So you need to be careful who you pick, because I want you to come back and say, Daddy, he ain't nothing. He's sorry. And I ain't doing nothing he got to say. I'm going to say, you better read your Bible. Amen, somebody. Yeah, if you that smart, don't marry him. Amen. Because once you marry him, you have to subject yourself. I mean, you have to put yourself. That's what the scripture teaches. And you know what? Don't frown. All of us are subject to somebody. Amen. And that's what's wrong with a lot of some of you go on our job. You go on an interview, write all this resume, and tell if you want this great job. You get the job. Oh, yes, sir. I'm going to do everything you say. Yes, sir. I just need a job. Oh, thank you, Lord. I got a job. Then you get on the job, try to run the job. Amen. It's not your job. It's not your company. It's not your business. If you don't like it, get another job. But while you on that job, do your. You didn't want to hear that, did you? But Jesus prayed. He prayed. I need to be more prayerful. I do. I need to be more prayerful. Lord, no. And you pray. Help me, Lord Jesus. And he spent all night praying. Lord, give me the right man. Give me the strength to do this ministry. Day came, he called his disciples to him. And he chose 12 of them. Now, it's just amazing how when you study the Bible, you see things you never saw before. You know, because I was thinking that Jesus just, you know, he went and he had these 12 men. He picked each one of them. He picked these 12 men. But, you know, there were more disciples there. But he chose 12. And, you know, sometimes Yeah, he chose 12. I don't know what all Jesus saw in each one of them, but sometimes when you are getting ready to do a specific work, you getting ready to do a specific thing, you need to, not, everybody can't do everything. Yeah, and he chose these men. I mean, you're going to see it again in here in just a second. And so I was, and whom he also he named as apostles. Notice, as apostles, with a small a, as ones who would be sent by him. By, see, this is the difference. See, you got guys saying, I'm an apostle. Well, we're going to say a little bit more about that. But you see, really and truly, all of us are apostles in the general sense of the word. Because when we leave out of here, Jesus says, I came not to be served, but to serve. And you know what? And the greatest among us shall be the servant, the one who serves. And so in a general sense, we all are apostles, but apostle is not a title. I'm Apostle Gary. Not so. No. And see, the scripture would say that now the names of the apostles were these. Excuse me. Now he also named the apostles. And then Luke names them. He says Simon, of whom also he called Peter, and Andrew his brother, and James and John, and Peter and Bartholomew, and Matthew and Thomas son of Alphaeus, and Simon who was called the Zealot, and Judas the son of James, and Judas Iscariot, who became the traitor. And then go to Matthew's account, Matthew 10 verse 1. Matthew 10 verse 1. Jesus summoned his 12 disciples. His 12 disciples. Gave them authority over unclean spirits. Notice, Jesus gave them the authority over unclean spirits to cast them out and to heal every kind of disease and every kind of sickness. Now the names of the 12 apostles are these. The first, Simon, who is called Peter, and Andrew his brother, and James the son of Zebedee, and John his brother, Philip and Bartholomew, Thomas and Matthew, the tax collector, James the son of Alphaeus, Thaddeus, Simon the Zealot, Judas Iscariot, the one who betrayed him. And so understand the word chosen is key. You'll go to Acts chapter 1 and verse 2, Acts 1 and 2, until the day when he was taken up from heaven. He had by the Holy Spirit given orders to the apostles whom he had chosen. We have instances in the New Testament that we as members of the body are to choose, are to select. And there are qualifications that are in place to give us parameters by which who are chosen. It's not about who's better, not about somebody's better than somebody else, or somebody's more important than somebody else, but there are specific works that God has set in place that men are chosen. Well, the primary job of the apostles was to testify as eyewitnesses that Jesus was who he claimed to be. How do you know that, Brother Gary? Go to Acts chapter 1, verse 8. Acts 1, verse 8. And listen to what the Bible says. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. This is Jesus as he's having this workshop with his apostles before he go back to heaven. And you shall be my, everybody say, witnesses. Notice this. This is going to be a difference. See now, there is a difference in the apostles being my witness and us being witnesses for Christ. You'll see that in just a minute. He says, you will be my witnesses, both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and even to the remotest part of the earth. His 12 apostles had a specific, so vital and very important job to do. And so when we say it's my witnesses, you're going to see it means my eyewitness, according to the scripture. Go to Acts chapter 1, verse 21. Acts chapter 1, verse 21. This was, you remember, after Judas was, and some of this I paraphrase because of time's sake. You remember after Judas had betrayed Jesus and he hung himself on a tree and he committed suicide. And then there were 11, and the 11, and one had to be replaced. And they're in the replacement process in Acts chapter 1, verse 21. Therefore, it is necessary that of the men who have accompanied us all the time that the Lord Jesus went in and out, these are the qualifications. It is necessary that of the men, of those who you select, who've accompanied us, Jesus, all the time that the Lord Jesus went in and out among us, beginning with the baptism of John until the day that he was taken up from us. One of these must become a witness with us of his resurrection. He said, this individual that we select must have been with Jesus from the time of John the Baptist all the way to Jesus was taken up out from this earth. That's why I say there were more disciples. There were more followers. And there are more followers of Christ. And that's good. It's like in the church, we have many members, but we all have different functions in the church. Amen, somebody. Yeah. He said, but this individual that we select has to be a witness. He has to have been with Jesus, no bones about it, and he had to have seen this resurrection, him, the resurrected Christ. And these are the criteria for it. And there were more than 12 who saw this. There were more than 12 who were around. Then he goes on to say in verse 23, so they put forward two men, Joseph called Barsabas, was also called Justus, and Matthias. So there were more even than two, but they put two forward. And now, notice, so the group, out of the group selected two. Says Justus, Matthias, these two are worthy choices. People watch what you do, don't they? You know, I know some of us are so private. You know, we come to church and we even park, and we even try to park where nobody don't see us. I'm just saying, you know, we got parking all, and you some of us have all those special parking places. Well, ain't nobody gonna see me. Somebody see you. I gotta tell you. See, everybody in here, somebody know something about us. I mean, it's just life. We can't disappear. We're not Casper the Friendly Ghost. And honestly, as Christians, we don't need to hide from people. We're not trying. I know we go through different things at times, and sometimes you don't want nobody to. I mean, life will do that to us. You know, sometimes you hurt, you're not feeling good. Sometimes when you come to the body of Christ, you say, you know what, I want to go serve the Lord, take the Lord's Supper. You know, I want to hear the word. I don't need nobody bothering me today. I know some people think that way. And you know what? That's okay. Because we're the children of God, aren't we? We family, right? But I'm talking about from a spiritual point of view. God don't want you to stay there.
Tell it.
Church. I mean, God don't want, that's not a place that you camp out.
Right.
You might be going through that time right now, but God got a purpose for your life.
Amen.
See, as Christians, we're the light of the world. And that's some circles, that's some places I don't go. Some places the elders don't go. Bible school teachers, they don't know. There's some corner that needs your light. And only you can give it. And I was reading, I said, you know, they picked out two guys. And you know, I was thinking about that. Why did they pick these two? Because they distinguish, and it's not about being. Sometimes people just get jealous about it. You know, so we've selected deacons, and you know, we've had elders. And you know, all the time when we do stuff like people get, some people get jealous. Why they? not just elder ministries, you know, ministry leaders and teachers, Bible school. She teaching? And notice it, and I know some people can fool people. For people, you know that we ain't not crazy. But stop doing that. Amen. Stop doing that, because you know what it does? It indicts your own self. Amen. See, now if you want to be, if you don't want to do nothing, if you want to be low key, if you want to be, you know what? I'm just gonna go to church. I'm gonna say that. Don't bother me. Well, just be that way. But don't get jealous. Don't get up. Because you know what? See, the harvest is plentiful. The labors are, you know what? I be thanking God that somebody stepped forward. That somebody put themselves. Because see, you got to put yourself. See, when you want to leave singing, you want to work around the table, you want to be in the Bible, you want to teach the kids in class. You saying, oh, Lord, I need to be an example. You put yourself out there. But God wants us. He wants our talents. Yeah, he wants to use our talents. And they selected these men because these men distinguished themselves. And I was thinking about that. I said, you know, because I'm telling you, there's some works that you don't call for, but God calls for. I'm telling you, you heard me say it, and my wife, she said, you shouldn't say that all the time. I wasn't on my list when I was putting on my career choices. It wasn't preacher. It wasn't on my list. Now, it's on my list now, 100%. Now, thank the Lord, I ain't where I used to be. And I'm going to tell you something else. The church needs women and men to step up and be the leaders, the people that God would have them to be. Yeah, we spend all our energy on the wrong things that gives us the wrong rewards and take us away from God, not to God. And I thank God for both of these men. Both of these men. And the people put them forth. I love that the people, the disciples, put them forth. You know, as we preparing the future for future deacons and future elders, future leaders in the church, we want the church to recognize these individuals. Amen? Yeah. Just don't recognize somebody that don't need to be recognized. This is not about favoritism. No, amen. This is not about family. He's in the right family. Amen. Church. Amen. It's talking about God's work. Boy, that clock is ringing. Boy. Says verse 24, and they prayed. Notice this. Remember, Jesus prayed. Remember that? They prayed. See, you, Lord, you know the hearts of all men. Show which one of these two you have chosen to occupy this ministry and apostleship from which Judas turned aside to go into his whole place. They drew lots for them, and the lot fell on Matthias, and he added them, and he was added to it. They put it in God's hand, and they selected Matthias, and Matthias was selected as one of these apostles, these unique individuals whom listen to 1 John in verse 1, what was from the beginning, what we've heard, what we've seen with our own eyes. This is from the apostle. What we've seen, what we've looked at and touched. That's why I say it now. See, these guys are calling themselves apostles. They're not apostles. In the sense of these 12, and now we are all apostles in the general sense that we all are sent. by God to do his will, but they wasn't. See, John, he right. He gives the qualifications. You just heard some of them. He says, these apostles, John says, what was from the beginning? He said, we've heard him with our ears. We've seen him with our eyes. What we have looked at and touched with our hands concerning the word of life. John says, look, we listened to him. We looked on him. We touched him. That's the kind of apostle I want to listen to. Amen, somebody. Yeah, these guys, you know, you go places and this guy calls himself apostle. He's really not using that term right. Yeah. And so let me see if I can bring this to a close. After Matthias' appointment, we do not find any other examples of succession of apostles. No other examples of, you see, and one of the things we know that, see, you'll see, and maybe it, next time I preach, is that, see, the apostles, their job, once their job is being completed, they are being faded away. We see one example because one of the apostles, there was a time they could have replaced him because James, one of the apostles, turn if you will to Acts chapter 12, verse 1. One of the apostles was killed, but he was not replaced. Acts chapter 12 and verse 1. Now about the time of Herod the king, laid hands on some of you, some who belonged to the church, in order to mistreat them. And he had James, the brother of John, who was an apostle, put to death with a sword. But they did, there was no replacement ceremony for James the apostles. And so at this point, the apostles as a body of decision makers began to fade out. And then the elders began playing the permanent role of decision making in the church as overseers of the church. And I'll read a couple of passages and then I'm going to have to close. In Acts chapter 14, verse 23, when they had appointed elders for them in every church. What are you saying, Brother Gary? No. So you'll see in Ephesians chapter 4, and he gave some as apostles, some as prophets, some as evangelists and pastors and teachers. You see the succession, if you will. The elders, he appointed for them, elders for them in every church, having prayed with fasting, that and they commended them to the Lord in whom they had believed. See, a church, especially a church that's been in operation for any length of time, is not where God would have it to be if it don't have any elders in the church. And that's just a fact. It's just all throughout Scripture. Listen to Acts chapter 15, verse 6. Acts 15, verse 6. The apostles and the elders came together to look into this matter. Acts 20, verse 17. From Miletus, he sent to Ephesus and called to him the elders of the church. Acts 21, 18. And the following day, Paul went out in with us to James, and all the elders were present. Ooh, I'm tempted to go. I got to stop. The apostles had a rough life. They did. Somebody said, oh, Brother Gary, I wish I could have been an apostle. No, you don't. They paid a heavy price. It's like Jesus paid a heavy price. But you know, being a follower of Jesus, there is a price to pay for all of us, every last one. And I'm coming to understand that better. As I've been studying about the apostles, you know what? I'm thankful. I'm becoming more appreciative that I didn't have to go through what they went through. See, you read about Jesus' life and all Jesus went through for us so we don't have to go through the same thing. I'm so glad, Lord have mercy, that I don't have to die on the cross for nobody. And we'll see in the future that the apostles, their debts were horrific. But we're also going to understand God's leadership, his organization, and the meaning behind his organization. And God has, this is God's way, and it's the only way. But we need to put everything in his right. See, there ought not be no man on this earth calling himself an apostle. He can't pay the price. Amen. You're here today, you're not a child of God. You certainly need to be. Because it is the way to heaven. It is the way to God, the will of God. And also, we're studying about the apostles. If you're going to be saved, you need to be following the apostles' doctrine. As they got it from Jesus. Amen. 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 And you hear today, on the first day of the week, on the day of Pentecost, when the church doors was open, one of the apostles, Peter, preached the first gospel sermon. And the scripture says, when they heard this, they heard it with their ears. They were pricked, their hearts were pricked. And they cried, men and brethren, what shall we do? The same question I hope anyone would ask today. And he said, repent and be baptized, every one of you. And if you're here today and you have been baptized, we don't teach any other way than what the apostles taught in order for a person to be saved. You must do just what they taught as they got it from Jesus. And if you want to be saved today, it will be through the hearing God's word. It will be through believing it with all your heart, repenting of all your sins, confessing Christ, and being baptized in water for the forgiveness of your sins. And you will be added to the Lord's church, as you can read about in your Bible, just the way God intended it. If you're here today, we want to give you that opportunity. If you're here today and you want to ask the church to pray for you, we'll pray for you right now as we come and stand.
There is much to do, there is work on every hand. Hark, the cry for help comes ringing through the land. Jesus calls for reapers. I'm as active beam, and what will thou, Master, hear my send me? Oh, here am I. There's a plaintive cry, a mourning soul's distress, and the sigh of hearts who seek but find no rest. And these shall have my love,